This episode of Film Sack is brought to you in part by Audible.com, your leading source for audiobook entertainment on the internet. Get over 100,000 books, periodicals, and more right now at audiblepodcast.com/filmsack. Get a free audiobook today. And by Shutterstock at shutterstock.com. At Shutterstock, you'll find the perfect image or video for your next creative project.
87 Guatemala. A spec ops team went into the jungle. High end. 6 men plus a CIA liaison. Only one made it out.
We're gonna need a new plan. This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind, episode 143. My name is Scott Johnson. Welcome back to the show, everybody. Joining me tonight, Brian Fishburne's imaginary friend, Dunaway.
Fishburne's. Did I remember to pack that one guy's parachute? Who cares? Hey, you know what? We ought to equip the dogs with those Inviso suits. That would really mess with them.
Nice. Those dogs are badass. With us also, Randy Magical Russian Grenade Jordan.
Aloha, Brian. Brian, Scott. This week on Film Sack. Hold on.
This week on Film Sack, we watch the fifth Predator film. Unless you count every movie that Lil Wayne has ever been in, which makes this the 14th Predator film. But I don't count that way because I'm a purist. I just hope they kill off Adrian Brody early on.
Purist or a pianist? There you go. Also with us, finally, Brian, Predator Class Warfare Ibit.
So you know what really worries me isn't that the sun hasn't moved since they landed, but the fact that Adrian Brody couldn't smell the Predators 100 yards away.
Nicely done.
Because he's got a big nose.
Guys, racist. We're watching Predators, but is this the newest movie we've ever covered on the show? I think it is. Like, it newest is two episode, I mean. Like, have we ever seen anything closer in years or time to the day we talk about it than Predators? And I can't think of
it. No, it was previously Expendables.
Was it? Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think Predators this beats it.
Yeah, Predators is about like a year newer than Expendables.
I think that's right. So yeah, Predators, everybody. It's the long-awaited 20 years in the making sequel to Predator 2, which we've seen on the show. Yeah.
Wait a minute. I stand corrected. They came out the same year. Oh. Whoa, they came out really close together.
Well, then this is not as close then than the other one. Right, so it still holds the record. Very nicely done.
You keep describing it, and I'm going to tell you I'm going to figure this out.
Well, I could tell you the entire plot, but instead, I'm going to let Scott Fletcher do it. So here it is.
Predators. Rugged mercenary Royce, played by Adrian Brody, inherits command of an elite team of human fighters, including dorky but dangerous Edwin, played by Topher Grace, and tough but beautiful Isabel, played by Alice Braga, as they are hunted by a race of ruthless alien trackers known as Predators, the direct sequel to the 1987 blockbuster Predator. Singular form.
So to pass final judgment, actually Expendables is still the newest film we've seen. It came out a month after Predators.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and plus the
when we recorded the shows.
Yeah, right. That's true. So that made it even longer. So there you go. Still holding the crown, but Predators not too far behind it. 1 month behind it, really. Yeah, Predators, movie I meant to see in the theater, meant to see it as soon as it came out on DVD, just kept putting it off, never had any reason other than just kept, you know, other stuff happened, other things came out, got busy. You know, I felt like I owed it a viewing because it's Predators. It's, you know, it's a thing we're supposed to be into. It's a part of my growing up. It was a movie, Predator 1 still just shakes me at the core as far as how much I enjoyed it.
Right.
2, not so much, but... This, you know,
no, 2 was bad.
Two is pretty bad. But this one is one that I had kind of had some some level of an anticipation for. It's based on a script by Robert Rodriguez, who I like most of the time. And I thought, well, if anyone's going to do this some justice, it's this guy who's
really,
you know, a roguish filmmaker who's done some interesting things with certain properties. I still think Desperado is one of the coolest movies ever made. So I kind of had some hope. All right. I kind of thought that it'd be all right. And guess what? It's all right. It's not the worst damn thing you could spend your time watching.
Right.
But it's not, it definitely isn't anything special or, I don't know. Like if I had to hold this up against the other two, the first one just creams them all. Okay. Just
yeah. Absolutely.
Such a classic. And later in the show, we'll talk about, I want to have us all thrown in on this, but you know, some of the reasons why I think the first one is so much better than these sequels. Whereas you could argue with like Aliens when they went, you know, with the second Alien movie, you could argue in a lot of ways that it was better in some ways. I mean, it's still a classic, the original, but that second movie's damn good. And I think it's the same. I think there are similar reasons why sequels blow it or they succeed. We'll talk about all that. But on the whole, I don't know. To hold it up against the other two, I think this is better than Predator 2.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
I don't know that it's that much better than Predator 2.
And I think I'd even say I liked it better than the first Aliens versus Predator.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's an easy one for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't like either of those AVPs.
It's really hard to say this is better than Predators 2 because I really feel like this film...
Predator 2, you mean?
Predators versus Predator 2. I really... This one felt very... formulaic, whereas Predator 2 had a lot of cheese, but was at least original.
Brian, can you agree with me that this felt strangely like an M. Night Shyamalan film after he was good?
Oh, weird.
I can see that.
After he was good?
Yeah. This is a post Signs M. Night Shyamalan
film. Post-Signs.
Meaning not good after Signs.
More like around Lady in the Water kind of. Yeah. Lady in the Pool Water kind of thing.
No, wait. What was that actually called?
Lady in the Water.
Okay, Lady in the Water. I didn't see it, so I don't know.
Because this movie, I'm going to go ahead and say, is has a very good soundtrack, very good there. But otherwise, it's just very straightforward. Does not seem like Rodriguez, who wrote the script, really did anything. He just showed he was a competent filmmaker. He wasn't really doing anything too original here.
Well, all he did was write. I mean, the director he pulled did Vacancy and a couple other movies I thought were interesting, and it seems to have a taste for action and stuff. I just don't think there's anything special here. I don't think anything's particularly bad. Right? It's not like I walked away going, "Oh, what a terrible movie." But everything about it is pretty formulaic. It's based on every creature in the woods, kind of the way things turn out. The girl in all the Predator movies, the girl's going to survive because that's the rule.
Right. The dialogue and the ideas, you know, of Brody going, hey, we need to, you got to know your enemy and you got to figure out what they want, but I'm willing to sacrifice but not myself, other people. And there was only one twist that really made this movie good. And that's Topher Grace's character.
And that's what I'm talking about with M. Night Shyamalan. Like it felt like that ham-handed of a twist. I'm sorry to say. It was a twist that came bumbling out of the jungle like the Kool-Aid man had suddenly appeared.
Who's thirsty?
That's a good way to say that. And I really did not like that. In fact, I felt like it was completely wasted. It was useless.
I don't really know if it was a twist or not, because the whole time watching the movie, you know, he's considered the doctor, but he provides no medical attention to anyone the whole
right.
movie.
Yeah. and you realize really early on they're all strangers and they're all telling each other about themselves, right? And they all have some pretty dark things in common except for him, and you're like, oh, he's lying.
Mm-hmm. Right. A very, very Lost feeling. I mean, the TV series Lost in this movie. I mean,
throw all these strangers together, make them get along or figure out what's going on, not trust each other.
Everybody holds a piece of the puzzle, but no one's letting it go and they're not telling anybody. Right. And if they would just all get together, they could just figure it out in 5 minutes, but they won't do it.
Well, as someone who loved Lost, I would have hoped for more of that being fleshed out. But really, it ended up just boiling down to Adrian Brody is going to try not to get shot because his nose is such an easy target. You got to pull that thing back. And I don't hate Adrian Brody. Like, I think he's great. I think he's a pretty good actor. I just don't know why he was cast in this thing.
Well, mm-hmm. And it's yet another Predator film that tries to convince me that maybe we could reach the Predators. Maybe we could communicate with them. Maybe we could, you know, maybe if we just helped them enough or talked to them right or gave them the right piece of cake, they'd help us get off this planet. when are we going to get over that? Why is that a thing?
Well, in this case, it was his survival plan. It was him saying, well, if my only way out of here is on that ship, and my only way on that ship is alien man who's hanging here. And what there is one cool thing about that Predator versus the ones that it fought with, and that's this class warfare between the two types of Predators. And what they are is the Predator suit from the 90s and early 80s or late 80s, which we haven't seen since Predator 2. They haven't used that suit and that face since then. So breaking that out again is kind of cool. And that's the one I like. And then they have this other AVP looking face one that supposedly is now at this in this great war Slate. With the other ones. I think that's awesome. Yeah. There's something about
one,
that, you know.
This is the one that's more Lil Wayne.
Right.
And Rodriguez specifically said this that he wanted to distinguish this away from the Alien versus Predator franchise. Didn't really want to mingle with that crap.
Yeah, he didn't use any of the, but he said that. But then they did. I mean,
then they did. Yeah. So yeah, I guess he's going. But you should be rooting for classic Predators in this sense, and not the Alien versus Predators.
I did. I rooted for the real Alien, the one that matters, the one that from the Schwarzenegger days, the one that had the vagina face. Oh yeah,
the one stuck on the tree.
The vagina face. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Because remember Arnold made some joke about that, the one on the tree. I think you're kind of meant to, because he actually comes down and says, all right, well, I see Brody just saved me. So, yeah, I'll give him keys to the ship, which is kind of weird.
Right. Here, I'm going to fight. You take the keys to the ship. I trust you. Hey, where are you going, you big nose freak?
But this is the problem. Okay, so this is the problem. This is where I wanted to talk about this part of it. I'll throw it to Ibbot and go around the circle here. But
sure.
Here's my core problem. I think this is why I don't like the movie as much as they want me to like it. And it's the same problem I have with other kinds of movies, but it's also kind of contradictory to what I'm going to say about Alien 3. So maybe this has more to do about filmmakers than it does about this idea. But anyway, when you go from one creature that you can't hardly see, that's hiding, you don't know where, that ultimately is going to have a showdown with you, aka Predator 1, okay?
Right.
That works because he is really a lot stronger, better equipped, and technologically superior to you, the prey. And he's going to pick you off one by one. And that's a cool trope, man. I love it. Pick him off one by one. Black guy dies first. Walton Goggins gets shot in the back. That stuff's great. No problem with any of that picking off dudes stuff. That's how these movies should be. It's just that in Predator 1, one threat, very hard to get. Arnold finally figures out a way to do it by the skin of his teeth. That works. Alien, Ripley does the same freaking thing. Then you want to go multiple. You want to go plural, and that's what Aliens did. And that worked because I think just because of better writing and better directing. It worked for reasons that it maybe shouldn't have worked in other hands. I don't know. But most of the time when you do this multiple thing, I start to have problems with it. Like, if that whole big, huge ship full of Predators were not enough to take down Adrian Brody and all the scrubs that were sent with him, then what are you doing? Where's the challenge, Predator race?
Yeah, there needs to be a movie where this one Predator just rips through everything.
Yeah.
This one Predator
the gold chin Predator.
See, and that's exactly. That's my problem with so you say that, but then you have Fincher's Alien 3, which should have been that again. It was half dog, half alien. It was going to be badass, could go in places the others couldn't, could be more mobile. And now, once again, an entire prison planet threatened by one elusive, terrible creature. And somehow that failed and didn't
do... Well, yeah. Okay, so, but in the first Alien, they had no idea what they were up against. Mm-hmm. And the alien was able to kind of pick them off. Aliens, they knew what they were going in for. They were mostly prepared for it. Still picked off 95% of the group, but they knew what they were getting into, and that's why 2.5 of them survived. Through the first minute of the credit sequence of Alien 3. They survived.
And so far, you're also describing the Predator films. Keep going.
Wait, right. I just want to make sure I heard that right. You referred to Lance Hendrickson as the half, right?
Yeah.
Actually, Newt.
Oh, that's awesome. All right, sorry. My brain went straight to Bishop. But, continue what you were saying. Sorry.
So then the third movie, and I don't know if this means that if the correlation, because I agree with you, Randy, I don't know if the correlation here is when you get to Aliens versus Predator or if you stay with the connection to Predators, but you kind of know what you're up against. You've got one person there who knows what the deal is, and Alice or the Israeli woman was that.
Right, with the great butt and the army fatigue.
She's hot.
Great butt.
She's totally yes. My style. She's hot.
One person knows what you're up against and is able to be kind of that help you have more of you survive at the end than just the one that survives at the end in the first film.
Right.
Right. Because we get two at this one instead of the one.
Right. Right.
Right. And the only, the other problem I think I have with it, there was something that rooted you to reality a bit more in the first two because it was a jungle in mm-hmm. South America and it was the streets of LA or whatever in the second one. But these were tangible places, right? These were places you could go and be. And when they find out they're on an alien planet and they walk up there like Luke Skywalker and know that they're two sons or whatever, I just went, oh, really?
That made me so mad because first of all, Topher Grace's character is pointing out these deadly plants. I'm like, you're on an alien planet. How could he have possibly have known? You just blew that all the way. You just messed all that up.
Well, no, he have known they did or didn't a, because isn't he, but isn't he in the cahoots with those guys? Because that was the whole point.
He was a killer from Earth. But, he's not in cahoots with them.
Well, wait. Mm-hmm. He was a killer from Earth. Well, like but a serial was, killer or
yeah,
something?
He's just a psychopath. Right. He's just a psychopath.
It never occurred to me what the, I've never quite got.
Cahoots, but he certainly wasn't complaining when they were all getting picked off one by one. It's like, all right, I'll just sit back and let them.
Ooh, but Scott's bringing up a complaint of mine, and that is that the film really doesn't tell its own story very well.
That's what I'm getting at.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
It didn't explain that at all. Like, not even in. Not that I need everything handed to me, okay? I don't.
And as you're learning that Topher Grace has been lying and he's actually trying to get people killed, you also get the feeling that they might not even be in an actual world.
Mm-hmm.
You get the feeling they might be in some sort of simulation.
Because mm-hmm. his voice gets modulated. Yeah. And I'm thinking, ooh, is he a predator all cloaked to look like dude from that 70s show?
What I was
like, what's
thinking
going
initially,
on?
Too, yeah. Right. That it was like, oh, okay, so it's a guy in... in a cloaking device.
Yeah, so now, take it back and say, what if in this film the Predators had kind of taken over a portion of South America and we just didn't know it?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And these people were thrown in there. Then you would have, you would be able to grasp it a little better, I think.
Yeah, I think so. It just took it. I realize people are probably thinking to themselves, well, you guys, you already have to accept the fact that these big vagina-faced aliens are coming to kill everybody. And you have to accept that they're from outer space and that they got ships and they have cloaking devices and all this. Why can't you accept that you're on their turf now?
Yeah,
it's an interesting argument, but there's something wrong with it.
Because it's never explained why you fall asleep and you wake up and you're falling with a parachute into the jungle. Like, give me a little more explanation there.
Yeah.
I just want a little more explanation. These people were I actually kind of liked it too.
I was kind of like, it was kind of cool to see Adrian Brody wake up. And you know what? If you're going to do some kind of weird looking green screen falling through the air thing, better do it at the very beginning of the movie so I can forget about it before the end.
That's right, dude.
So
that was pretty ham-fisted.
I did forget about that. Yeah.
That was pretty bad. Weird cold opening, but I don't know. Like, if they would have just been more like that kind of Ultimate Prey / Hunger Games kind of motif of everybody just being plopped down here and now you got to figure out how to survive is fun in its own way. And I'm totally cool with that. I just don't know why it had to be another planet. Because now it's like, oh, it's a gaming reserve, basically.
Because they have to up the stakes. The stakes are, South America for the first one, the streets of LA for the second one. How do you up the stakes without changing? Well, and you add a new kind mm-hmm. of predator, of course. Take them out of the turf they're familiar with and put them, you change the battlefield.
In that effort, though, to up those stakes, I think they actually lowered them. Because when you do that, you end up going, you end up not caring.
Nope.
I actually
disagree. I think the desperation of it was actually one of the few things I did like about the fact that the movie ended with them still stuck on the planet. I thought the desperation of it was actually pretty good.
Well, that part's okay if you're going to – I mean, in the context of, yes, we're on this other planet, now we're stuck here, I get that desperation, but I rarely gave a crap. Like, there was never any suspense to me because I was like, I wasn't waiting for to be shown something cool that would happen. I was waiting to be shown things I knew were going to happen.
Well, yeah, we immediately knew this. It's a journey pickoff death kind of story where you know who's going to survive. And, of course, that brings up the question, did you guys guess correctly? Because I always do this when I watch one of these movies. You always got to guess who's going to end
which
up.
Which order?
Right.
Danny Trejo. I had a feeling Trejo was out early.
You start with what it costs to have them in the film.
Right.
Which is not the most... That's not the most reliable thing, because you could go hire a very expensive actor and say, you know, we only need you for a day.
Right.
And so you have to, you know, you start from there, but then you have to figure out, okay, who's really just making a cameo in this thing and who's in it for the long haul? And you realize Adrian Brody would never make a cameo. He's not that big.
No.
And so that's was the point of my greeting. It was so depressing to real after you've met everybody to realize, shit, it's going to be Adrian Brody, this whole damn movie.
But like, you know, I beg Exhibit A, I'd give you Steven Seagal in that executive decision. He sucked out of that thing and nobody knew that was coming. Remember, that was a big deal at the time.
That was brilliant.
Samuel L. Jackson in Deep Blue Sea is the big example. But like I say, in that case, you didn't realize that he hadn't taken his usual salary because he didn't appear in the whole film. You know?
Right. I kind of thought, all right, so first down goes Trejo.
I was actually thinking Trejo was going to be there the whole time. I really did. I thought he was going to hang around for a little longer than he did.
I wasn't surprised, because he does this in movies a lot now. It's like, unless he's the main guy, he's out. So
Machete,
you got Trejo.
Is this where
I pick up my paycheck? All right, see you guys.
I really do love him.
Apparently get my voice done by Cheech.
Yeah.
Right.
I really love him. So when he's gone early, I'm not happy about that. Then the second guy to go, I think it was the guy from Africa, the hitman guy. Oh, I'll tell you who I really liked. Yeah. The Japanese Kenpo dude.
Yeah, the Yakuza dude.
Really liked his character. Yes. And maybe it's because they didn't have to say much with him. It just kind of knew he was cool and knew he had skills and knew he knew what everybody was saying and all that.
Like the fact that he was the last man standing and he still, you know, went on his way. But I didn't like the fact that he just kind of gave Adrian Brody a nod and he stayed. I didn't like that.
Do we in general like these formulaic films where everybody gets picked off one by one?
Yeah,
in general,
where it's the. Everybody comes from different. It's the Breakfast Club in the Jungle.
Yeah, that's good.
Good ensemble cast.
Right. Which one's going to eat their dandruff, and which one's going to go upstairs and dance around like a jock? How's that going to play out?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you though. I to answer Brandy's question. Yes, I do like these, but I need them to be well made. And this isn't this to me is not an example of a very well made version of that. And I keep giving crap to Alien 3, and I actually think in retrospect it's not as bad as I think it is. I actually kind of think
it's a great horror movie. It's a bad alien movie.
Yeah. It's more horror. You're right. It's more of a horror movie and more, I don't know, I'm all about space prisons. I love prison planets. I think that's the coolest idea. So it kind of works on that level for me. But a movie where people like horror movies getting picked off one after one, the fun is who's next and how's it going to go? Right. And this movie was mostly like, it was more who's next, but I kind of know how they're going to go. I'm pretty sure I know how Goggins is going to go out, and I'm pretty sure that, you know, this other guy's going to get shot.
Was the Hicks. Or not the Hicks. Hudson.
Oh, right.
He was the Hudson. Right. You know, he's gonna go crazy and nearly cause everybody to get killed, and then he's going to get killed himself.
Yeah, I love there's always one guy that really wants a gun, and he's the only person that doesn't have a gun, and he's always like, give me the gun. And you know that things have turned when they finally give him a gun. It's like, okay, they're giving him the gun, or he somehow obtained a gun, and so now...
Fishburne was almost your Obi-Wan Kenobi, by the way.
Kind of was, yeah.
Yeah, and... he didn't stay very long.
No, he went bad. He was bad Obi-Wan Kenobi, but he could have been.
So then what could we compare him to?
Yeah, what is Fishburne?
He's the crazy Russian in the space station in
Armageddon.
He's the friend back there in the chipper then, or the guy that put Buscemi in the chipper. I love that guy. He goes, you know what? He's another... Everyone always talks about... We talked about Sean Bean last week, dying and everything. You could almost say this other guy that played that Russian guy, you could say he's more that guy, because everything he's in, Jurassic Park 2, just a worst death, just swarmed by tiny little dinosaurs. Like, yeah. He's always dying in movies. I love that guy. In fact, go remake your movie. Put him in it. I'll watch him in Predators. Anyway, sorry.
We give Predators a lot of crap, but I'm telling you, it's not a bad movie.
It was fun.
And you know, some of the character development was interesting, seeing some of the characters and what they would say. I was really just hoping that I wish they could have really done something better with Topher Grace. I mean, because he could have been a lot of fun. He could have made this movie a lot of fun. He could have really steered it in a different direction. Mm.
Did you ever feel like, though, he was playing a role that was new to him? I really felt like that 70s show had been plopped into this movie.
He's the same guy.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. It's like that. What was that movie did with Dennis Quaid that was a rage for a while? It was a kind of a romantic comedy. It was actually really good.
Oh, yeah.
It was really good.
Dennis Quaid is the father of his girlfriend.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And he's like his boss at one point. Like Topher Grace becomes the dad's boss.
Not Match Point.
No, yeah. It's something else. He's really good in that, but he's that same guy. He's the Michael Cera of that 70s show alumni.
Right. That's a good comparison. Michael Cera.
Kind of the same guy and everything. He's handsome. He's good looking. He can do his whatever he needs to do, but he's just, there's nothing, they're not going to cast him to be in the lead. Although I would never have picked Adrian Brody for this business. I
actually liked the pick of Adrian Brody because, you know, he's got that, and this is some of the stuff that I read on Wikipedia, of course, but they was kind of trying to go away from the whole overly masculine, all Schwarzenegger, big buff kind of guy and kind of go with somebody lean and mean, kind of truer military. And I actually thought that worked pretty good. And I was kind of impressed with his physique. He was actually in pretty darn good shape.
Josh Brolin was originally was also eyeballed for the role. I would have been more down with that, honestly.
Yeah. Because I don't take Topher Grace seriously, even when he's being dead serious.
Yeah.
And so that kind of works against it.
Yeah.
I think he could have been creepy, though. That's the thing. He should have been a lot. He played pretty creepy when he did do it, but he could have really.
Right. If he'd gone like Tobey Maguire from Sin City creepy, I could have. Right. Yeah.
Right.
So originally they had Jeff Fahey picked for the part of Noland, who is Fishburne.
That would have been real lost then. I'd have been real lost.
I like Jeff Fahey. I watch him do whatever he wants. Lapidus. Lapidus. The original script contained cameo appearances by Dutch, who Arnold Schwarzenegger's character from the first movie, and Michael Harrington, played by Danny Glover, the protagonist from the previous Predator films. However, these appearances were ultimately cut out. Probably for the best, I'm thinking.
No, I disagree. Schwarzenegger doing like the voice of something would have been awesome.
Oh, that would have been cool. Yeah, like a kind of a retrospective sort of they don't know what they're in for or some bull crap.
Yeah, but how do you do it? How do you integrate?
Especially on an alien planet, how do you do it? None of them planned on going there.
She's her description of what she knows is tech where she plays back a recording of him.
See, that'd be okay.
Okay.
I would have been fine with that. But putting Danny Glover in there, that's weird.
It's Quaid. You're watching this film, and that means I am you and you are me.
I guess you're right. Yeah, you kind of just ruined it for me.
Oh my gosh, that movie's so much better all of a sudden. That would have been really, really good. All right. What else? There's just a goofier tone. I don't know. I don't want people to go, you guys just sat there and ragged on Predators. I just came away with feeling average.
I'd actually, you know, I'd say it's B minus, C plus kind of thing.
Totally worth watching.
Yes.
Totally worth watching. Definitely an action film. I mean, if you're, I'm the same way. It's just very straightforward, nothing too surprising. And I think that was probably the thing we're most disappointed about.
Best acting was Fishburne. I think. I do. I really do. I thought it was good. He basically, I mean, he hammed it up pretty good and pretty fat for a guy who's on the run with nothing to live on. But that's fine.
I really didn't like the Predator dogs. I really don't like dogifying any of my alien stuff. I didn't like it in Aliens. I don't like it here.
Well, why can't Predators have dogs? What's your problem with that?
I'm just not into it. It's just they're because it defeats the whole intelligent Predator thing. It's just you're just being chased by monsters, and it's just.
Well, I didn't like it. It added to the whole alien planet problem. So it wasn't so much that they were dogs; it's just that you didn't sell me on the planet enough.
Right.
So I'd have been fine with the dogs. I mean, the idea that they're hunters and they use animals to flesh things out—that's a decent idea.
And even in 2000, even in 2010, you got the dogs, and you're still using the same thing you've done for 30 years, which is from afar, you use some type of special effect. Close up, you use a practical effect, and you have a guy holding, basically struggling with a puppet.
Yeah.
And
what else are they going to do? They got to do, I mean, that's the standard. There is nothing else. You could Avatar the whole thing up.
Right. Would that be awesome?
Oh.
3D Avatar. Yeah. Was this in 3D?
Mm. No.
I don't know. It was the year of 3D.
I don't think that was in 3D. I would be shocked unless they retrofitted it like they do some of them.
Really seemed like that year that Piranha 3D came out right after this.
I just, you know what? It's funny you just said all this, the talk of Avatar and 3D and everything. I just realized what movie this reminds me of in tone or in my disappointment level. It was Wrath of the Titans. Or not Wrath, the first
Clash of the Titans?
Clash of the Titans. I haven't seen Wrath, so I can't speak to it.
Or the remake?
But the remake, the first remake. I actually heard Wrath's all right, the sequel last year.
Yeah.
But I didn't see it.
Corinne told us that, and it wasn't too bad, actually. I did kind of enjoy it.
First one, though, first remake, I thought was, you know, beautiful and looked cool and had some neat effects and everything, but I walked away with that same feeling like I just watched formula action movie 101, and that was boring a little bit. Mm-hmm. So anyway, Black Die guy died early. Didn't die first. Died early. what else? Kenpo Yakuza. We talked about him. He's a badass. Talked about the preferred predator face.
do we talk about the burning hole like a vagina? Do we talk about that?
Was the burning hole like a vagina?
Which one's that?
The burning hole that like a vagina when they were all trying to escape out of. Lawrence Fishburne's underground cavern.
Did that look like a vagina?
Yeah, it did.
Oh. I didn't notice. That was all too dark for my taste. I couldn't tell what was going on.
That's you also, watched it on Netflix, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah, well, yeah, but no. That's not... No, yeah, I did. This one I did. This one on DVD. It's not on Netflix. It's not streaming right now.
Oh, that's right.
So I saw the DVD. But it's there was a lot of dark. Like, hey, let's have the old Predator and new Predator fight. But let's make it feel like they're in a closet and you can't see a damn thing. Like, I wasn't sure who won at the end until, you know, he ripped his helmet off. And I went, oh, okay, AVP's got old man on the thing. chalk one up for the stupid AVP alien.
Oh, I got a trope.
Oh, do you? Hold on.
In movies, booby traps are smart. They can tell the difference between somebody who knows that they're there and somebody who doesn't. Mm-hmm. They can tell the difference between a group of people and a single individual. And they seem to, like, booby traps seem to, like, play along with the script. Like, almost like they're super intelligent.
Yeah.
Like, the booby traps are their own character, and they're all working together to kind of further the plot.
Yeah.
I was surprised how often I was paying attention to the booby traps, the effect of booby traps on different people in this film.
Yep.
We booby trap them.
That's right.
I got a little tired of it. Like, you know, like, wait a minute. I think there's
use booby trap as a verb. We booby trap them.
Yeah. And he did it in his best Batman voice. Listen to that thing.
Whole thing.
We booby trap them.
I was in The Pianist. I saved a bunch of Jews.
I'm guessing Adrian Brody's real voice. Something like this. Hey!
Hey, you guys. Anyone got a Kleenex? You wouldn't believe the sinus infection I've got. I'm just kidding. He's fine. I don't mind him. I don't mind him, but I didn't like him in this.
Other things.
Just a weird pick.
His Batman voice ruined the film.
Yeah. Just a little bit much.
The only worst thing I've seen him in is that damn Gillette ad where he and Andre... 6,000 and
3,000.
Gael Garcia Bernal, hipstering down out on the town.
Really?
They've all just shaped their beards and mustaches into awesome, crazy things that no guy would ever, except a guy who has millions of dollars to his name. Oh, and that's them.
That's them. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, good luck, Adrian Brody, on your next. I feel like this is maybe an attempt by him to go, no, I can do this stuff. Totally. Look at me doing this action stuff. I can do this. Doesn't all
I
have to be.
I can now put action star on my resume. Click.
I did finally see The Pianist last year. I hadn't seen it up till now. That's a good movie.
I've never seen it.
Yeah, The Pianist.
Yeah, that's a really good movie.
The Pianist.
Never seen it. Can't watch movies
I
about.
Can't, yeah, I can't recommend the whole film, But as a pianist myself, I have to recommend the music and the way that the music is presented in that film.
It's a good movie, piano or not. You don't think that's a good movie? I think
it's really hard to watch, man.
Well, yeah, there's content wise, it's rough.
Like, I would like to go to the pianist and pluck out three scenes and have that be an alternate, like a 15-minute alternate film for you to watch, just to appreciate Spielman's performances, you know. And I'm sorry, I realize we all have to face the horrors, but man, that movie's horrifying.
Yeah. Oof. Yeah. That's good, though. It's got Adrian Brody in it. I don't know if you guys have heard. He booby trapped the whole thing.
We booby trap him.
All right. Well, let's see. Should we do some clips? You guys in the mood for clippage?
I'd like to hear some clips because this movie has some good clips.
All right. Here's some harsh breathing. big drop on out of a mystery plane into a jungle will do that to you.
Right.
I don't remember what this is.
Please stop doing that.
Oh, more Batman.
More Batman.
Hey, quit doing that voice.
Please stop doing that.
No, really, I want you to quit.
Please stop doing that.
All right, fine. Get in my car.
We booby trap him.
Okay, fine.
You're improving the film for me once again.
It's almost Jewish booby trap. Yeah. Booby trap.
Yeah, booby trap.
Booby.
Every week on Film Sack, you play back things that prove the film for me.
Hans, booby.
Hans, booby. Yeah.
All right, here is a reminiscent or I just made up a word. Here is someone telling someone to stick together.
We need to stick together.
And you should follow me.
Oh, Batman, dude. Batman. That's kind of comical now.
It is.
But I'm hearing it after the movie. He really overdid that. Mm-hmm. We're going to need a new plan. Oh, it keeps going. How did I capture so much HG from Brody?
he's using, yeah.
Didn't mean to do that. All right. Cool predator sounds in the helmet. One of my favorite things about these movies is the what the predator sees and hears. And
Predator vision. We talked about this with Predator 2. Predator vision is the thing that distinguishes this from a lot of run-of-the-mill action films.
I agree.
If they don't go into predator vision, I turn this thing off halfway through.
If aliens don't unlock their three jaws and kill you that way, is that as cool as it would have been? I don't think so.
Yeah.
That's true of a lot of movies. Hey guys, take a moment to talk to you about Audible.com. Audible.com, just such an awesome sponsor. They got so much cool content. I mean, you're like us, you're sci-fi and fantasy nerds. It's where you get it all. Put it in your iPod, put it in your iPhone, your Android phone, whatever. Go jogging. Listen to something like, Legion. Brand new book from Brandon Sanderson. Fantastic author. Brand new book called Legion. And people are really excited about it. Turns out we got kind of a special deal going with this one right now. Here's a taste of it. You can kind of hear it.
My name is Stephen Leeds, and I am perfectly sane. My hallucinations, however, are all quite mad.
All right. That gives you a taste of it. Get a piece of that business for absolutely free right now. All you got to do is go to audiblepodcast.com/filmsack, and you can get a free copy of Legion and another book. That's right. Free stuff from Audible on this fantastic New Year's weekend. Go to audiblepodcast.com/filmsack. This ends on the 31st. So you got to act now. Good luck. Let us know what you think. This episode is also brought to you by Shutterstock at shutterstock.com. Shutterstock, you can find whatever you need. Video, images, vector stuff. Whatever your creative project is, you can find it. Websites, publications, advertisements, video. Any kind of project, really. You can choose from 20 million high-quality stock photos, illustrations, vectors, and video clips. They source these images from all over the world, and they kind of go through them all hand by hand, piece by piece. And they add 10,000 images every day, but they still kind of have, you know, direct sort of check over everything that comes in. They only want the best. It's a complete offering. Award-winning iPad app as well, so you can search on the go, display images during presentations, and so on. It's a fantastic app. The app is absolutely free. And great flexible pricing. You can choose individual image packs or a monthly subscription. It's kind of your choice. You can just download any image, any size, and pay for that one price. It's entirely up to you. You can try Shutterstock.com today by signing up for a free account. No credit card needed, just an account. Get that thing started. Get the images you want to check out and see. Save the assets. set up your own light box. If you decide to purchase, use the code FILMSAC12. That's FILMSAC12. And new accounts will receive 30% off any package. That's Shutterstock.com. And for 30% off that new account, use offer code FILMSAC12. We thank Shutterstock for their support of FilmSAC.
You know, and I agree that we have to have it because it's a trademark of the, of this franchise. But I do think that sometimes I'm almost feeling like they're taking too long trying to. You could easily kill them in the 20 minutes it takes them to scan an area, because it is some really slow scanning technology.
Well, they made it more. They made it more. To me, that made more sense in the first movie because it was like they're trying. They don't want to just swoop in and kill everybody. They want it to be a challenge, like a real hunt. They don't want it to be just picking off, you know, shooting fish in a barrel. And I always felt like
shooting Lawrence Fishburne in a barrel.
Yeah. He was an easy shot. Jeez.
Right.
And how hard, you know, if he can send in smoke in there, you'd think that they'd have no problem picking him off.
Right.
You know,
you'd think
there's two exits out of that thing, apparently.
Yeah.
Just cover both of them, throw some smoke in there. All right, we'll flush them out. Take about half an hour.
I hate giant ships where there's only room for about 12 people. I hate that.
Right.
It bugs me. All right, cool predator sounds in the helmet. I like this.
Help me. Help me.
It's a trap.
The old Star Wars in there.
I was hoping you was capturing that because that was fantastic.
Yeah, that was really cool.
Yeah, I like that.
Why do they always have to alter our voices? I've been curious about that too.
What do you mean? Like just, oh.
It has to show that they've got the technology to, if he can do that, then he can make himself sound like anybody. So anybody we hear could be him.
Yeah. Right. I also like mysterious sounds in my movies. I still to this day I'll swear on any Bible you put in front of me that the reason that Star Wars is our movies people love is mostly the soundtrack and the sound effects. I think those are so crucial to those movies working. And part of the reason that is you hear things you'll never hear in natural life, even though that stuff's created with natural things, but you're never going to hear a walking hairy dude sound like Chewie does. You're never going to hear that specific sound of lightsabers or blasters. They're indelible noises that are mysterious and now uniquely theirs. They can't use them anywhere else without
it's me. It's like going, the Wilhelm scream. You hear it when you, if you were to hear it, you'd know it instantly would take you out of the movie.
Right. Which is partly why it bothers me that the portal lady, or the, what's her name? GLaDOS from Portal.
Yes,
her
right.
actual voice and the technology to do it and the actual voice actor is in that new movie.
Pacific Rim.
Yeah. And in a way it's kind of cool. It's like, oh, we like that so much. We went to Valve and we got the tech from them and they approved it and we got the lady and now we can put it in our movie. Part of that is kind of cool, but not if you're a gamer, because we're all going to go see that and go, oh, it's Portal, dude.
And it makes me feel like, oh, does this mean we're never going to get a Portal movie?
So Brian Ibbett, if the Wilhelm scream takes you out of a film, were you bothered by it in The Hobbit?
The Hobbit? No. I mean, it's one of those things where you hear it and no matter how immersed you are, you do think, oh, Wilhelm scream. And then all of a sudden you're not as immersed in the film as as you are. That wouldn't bother me as much as hearing like another robot that sounds like R2-D2 or
see what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean it's almost become a Where's Waldo thing. You know, oh, are they gonna use it? Are they gonna use it? And
you can kinda have fun with that.
You can, yeah.
But it still bugs me.
It does take you out of the film. I mean it may not eject you forcibly out of the film, but it does bring you to realization that, oh, there's a sound effect. That's not a real guy falling off that cliff.
All of them freaking do it is my problem. It's not, if it was a once in a while thing, great. But everyone with action, if a guy's fallen, Wilhelm, they're just going to stick it in. Mm-hmm. It'd be nice to go see an action movie where nobody did it. And you're not having to hear that every freaking time.
I'd be curious to see a Google graph showing me the use of the Wilhelm scream in film. And I wonder if right around now we're getting to the peak.
Yeah. Oversaturation.
Oh, right. Like it's been increasing.
Exactly.
Steadily. Yeah, I don't know. That's interesting.
I seem to hear it everywhere I go.
For the longest time in World of Warcraft, I've had that add-on that makes a Wilhelm scream every time you kill another player. And it's just like I couldn't do PvP without it now. It's so
it belongs useful. In the so game. Fun. It needs to be hard coded in there. at this point. All right, here is something about smelling people.
If I can smell you, if I can hear you, they can too.
All right, Fishburne pulls off the voice, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm down with that.
Fishburne.
But he's doing is whispering. He's not trying to sound all dirty voiced like
Adrian
Brody.
That's his voice. Yes,
he's a boy in the hood, man. Sounds great to me. I like him.
I'd say Fishburne is one of the best things about this movie, and it's just a bummer they couldn't use him more without betraying the plot, you know, betraying what his role was as tense ally gone bad.
I think he would have been a better dude to have in your final three because he knows the way out, or he's got some secret stuff, and he'll at the last minute go, "You guys go on. I'm going to go ahead and kill him for Zion." And then he could just shoot them all up and die. That would have been the tropey way to go for me. All right. This part of the movie sounded like Star Wars music to me, so I captured it. So listen carefully. Tell me if this doesn't have a taste of Star Wars in it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You hear it?
It's the clarinet, right? Or whatever that instrument is. Is it an oboe?
It's like R2 and 3PO are in the canyon, and there's a Jawa sneaking around trying to decide how to shoot him. Yeah.
It's about to go boom, 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 boom.
Let's go watch Star Wars. All right.
Yeah.
Didn't open up. Oh.
Yeah, that didn't open up shit.
Yeah, Goggins. Always good to hear Walton Goggins do anything.
I like seeing Boyd Crowder in this.
He's great. He's great in everything. I don't know if you guys.
He was basically playing Walton or Boyd Crowder.
Pretty much Boyd Crowder. A little bit more loose and a little less controlled. Boyd Crowder tends to get a little calm and creepy, but
yeah,
you know what he was a lot more like in this was Shane from The Shield, which is the first thing I ever saw him in. You need to do yourself a favor. When you've got nothing else to watch. Yeah, right.
When you've got nothing else. I like that. It's really great, but it should be the last thing you ever.
Well, I just know you have so many other things you're into, but that is that show's so good. Oh my gosh. Maybe one of the best shows ever made. All right. Predator sound. I just thought that was cool.
Okay.
Share that with you there. And then finally,
we booby trap him.
All right. haven't played that in proper order yet. All right. So a couple of Fletchers here.
Predators.
There's one of them. I think he's got a lot of cough syrup or something going on there. Here's another one.
I've never seen this jungle, and I've seen most.
All right.
Okay.
And then this.
Maybe it's Ransom.
I actually was taken out of the movie when he got that line. I've never seen this jungle, and I've seen most, because I was like, wow, that looks exactly like Hawaii. Yeah. And then I went and looked it up. Oh, yeah, it's Hawaii.
Yeah, of course.
Except for the one scene at Hamilton Pool outside Austin.
Yeah, they said they got a tax break or something in the trivia, so they filmed a bunch of crap in Texas where they could.
And free pineapples. Oh.
The thing about Hamilton Pool is nothing else looks like it. So the minute they were, they went to that thing with the curved wall stone, it's been in so many other films. Like, I was just like, oh wow, never seen anything like that except in every other movie.
Except Always. All right. Well, there's your clips, and that means time for a thing that I put over here. And now I can't reach it, and here it is. Time for awards, everybody. This movie has earned some Film Sack awards today. Worked hard for them. It deserves them. The best Candyman impression goes to Lawrence Fishburne.
Candyman.
Reminded me of Candyman.
I see that.
Green Blood Still Looks Silly award goes to this movie. And the How Many Grenades Does It Take to Blow Up a Predator?
Apparently more than he gave Topher Grace.
Well, Topher Grace had like 10 strapped to him. That wasn't enough to kill that predator.
But as we'd already seen, they were really ineffective grenades.
Well, okay, clearly, but the Russian guy had one incendiary grenade that took out the predator and half the ship, and then blew fire all the way up the cave they crawled out of and blew out the front. Like, what kind of Russian grenade was that? That was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Star Trek connections, bunch of them. Check this out. Tim Simonek, he's an orchestrator. Did Star Trek 2009's conductor and principal orchestra for Michael Giacchino's score. So he's big deal on the music. John Debney, original music, TNG, DS9, written music scores for various episodes. Jake Garber, makeup special effects guy. He did Ron Perlman's makeup in Nemesis, which is so good. Also, First Contact, Insurrection, and episodes of all three modern Treks. Derek Mears did Classic Predator. He's the Classic Predator in the body, or the suit. Okay. On Enterprise, he played the Orion guard in the episode Borderland, so probably a big giant guard man. And then finally, Christina Patterson Sarrett, maybe? Contact lens painter. She is credited as a contact lens painter in this movie.
Really?
Star Trek 2009, she was the contact lens coordinator / painter.
I like it.
Isn't that great?
Awesome.
Thanks, Daryl, for sending us those. Those are awesome.
By the way, Michael Giacchino, not just a Star Trek connection, but also and a Lost connection, but also a Brian Ibbett connection. My buddy Chris Brown used to hang out with his sister up in New Jersey.
Wow.
Yeah, so somebody corrected me on Twitter the other day about how we're supposed to say his last name, but I can't be bothered to memorize it.
Is it not Giacchino?
I thought it was Giacchino.
It was like we were supposed to say Giacchino or something. I don't know. I don't care.
All right. Well, here's my impression of Brown. Here's my impression of all his commercial breaks for Lost. Ready? Commercial. Let's do a Twitter post. 140 characters or less. What you guys think of this film? Let's sum it up. Randy, what do you got?
Predators. It's a planet or a simulation. We're not sure. Where predators or projections, we're not sure, are trying to... Oh, forget it.
Nice. Hold on. You made me want to play something.
We booby trap him.
All right. Thanks. Next up, Mr. Dunaway.
Predators. There's no predator in the city, but a Russian guy in a mime shirt on an alien planet with a big gun always makes for the good time. Falling machetes!
It's no predator in the city. That's what that second one should have been called. Predator 2. Predator in the city. Finally.
Did y'all notice he had a mime shirt on underneath the Russian guy?
Yes, because that's like the stereotypical Russian shirt.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's pretty really? Great. I love that guy was so gun happy when they got down to the planet and just started blowing up anything that moved.
It's like, gotta have it.
You're the only guy with a minigun. Slow down.
he was not at all concerned about running out of ammo.
No, not at all. He couldn't get that in quick enough.
Just go around the corner in Castle Wolfenstein and pick up another ammo pack. Mm-hmm.
My name
alert.
All right. You guys remember Mecha Hitler? That's an awesome character in a video game. Anyway, Brian Ibbett, what do you got?
Predators would have given this another half star if when Brody won at the end, he would have given us a predator this bitch.
Oh, that would have been awesome.
Nice.
We booby trap him.
Just any good one-liners. That was the hallmark of the first film, you know, is that
if it bleeds,
we can kill it.
Yeah.
And never, nothing.
Well, the director said, guys, let's improv, do some lines. And Brody said,
please stop doing that.
He said, all right. This is my little playhouse here.
I love it.
All right, let's get into what's going on here. What's going on here?
Email?
Oh, yeah. No, not emails. Here's what I learned.
Oh, yeah.
Here's what I learned while you let Walton Goggins be the hero for once. That was kind of cool, jumping on the back, stabbing him in the neck, shanking him.
Oh, yeah.
That's what he was doing. Yeah. I assume he was a prisoner, right? That was the deal?
Yeah. He
had the orange jumpsuit on, yeah.
Yeah. When they said something about FBI's most wanted or something, it seemed like he was already in custody, but whatever. You'd think Morpheus would have lost a couple of pounds being on his own surviving on that planet.
They never did explain
he had the Hurley factor.
Yeah, a little bit. What was in that stew, I wonder? People! That's what was in it.
Yeah, it was people.
It was Soylent Green.
And then finally, never take that 70 show kid with you on an alien jungle trip. That's what I learned. Let's get to an email. Got one here from Joe. Got a couple of them today. Joe sent us a short one. It says, dear, we got scooters and will it blend? This movie isn't streaming and the DVD is $47 out of print. However, the Blu-ray is $8 plus prime free shipping. If anyone were to give you a gift for the show, could it be an upcoming film sack? Joe, the movie he's referring to...
is The Island.
Is not The Island. It is a movie whose name just left me. Hold on, Joe. Uh-huh. Hold on, Joe. Film sack. I got to find this. It was in his subject and I... Point Break, that's what it was. Point Break.
Oh, yeah.
So Point Break. Say,
Point Break is on Blu-ray.
A few weeks ago, I was talking about how The Island was never made in this region, so the Blu-ray was really, really expensive. Well, I hadn't looked into it in over a year, and they did finally put out an Island in our region on Blu-ray. And so like I was talking about how expensive it was. Actually, it's like nothing on Amazon.
Well, Brian, Randy, I have news for you. Because you weren't here for this part of last week's show when I mentioned this, I have in my hands... 4 copies of Michael Bay's The Island.
Three of which he'll send to Dunaway.
Yeah, three of which he'll send to Brian. I don't know what I did.
Guys, I got three.
I screwed that up last time. But don't worry. I'll put Kim in charge. He'll make sure this gets to you guys.
I still don't understand why I have so many copies of Repo, the Genetic Opera.
I don't either. That's really weird.
I've got two copies of Idiocracy.
Which is where mine went. I didn't have a copy, so I sent two to Brian. I don't know what happened. Anyway, fresh slate, guys. 2013. We got this. So next email.
If you really want us to do a movie on FilmSec and it's not streaming, buy us four copies of the movie and send them.
Yeah, send them. And then I'll try to make sure that everyone gets a copy somehow and not two.
Scott will try.
I'll try. Last email. Brett says, Scott, you need to go back and watch Friends. Hold on. I'm going to do this in a voice. Right? Hold on. Scott, you need to go back and watch Friends before you spout out incorrect statements. You said that there was no African-Americans on that show. I'm guessing you forgot the whole season where Ross dated Charlie.
Oh, true story.
Oh, Aisha Tyler, too.
Oh, is that who that was?
Yes.
I didn't watch the show much. I said that on that episode. I just didn't watch it. Yeah, I watched some. I saw like first, I don't know what I saw. It's bits and pieces. I know Tom Selleck showed up for a while, right?
Yeah.
He did. Okay. And with a mustache and without a mustache.
And Ross's dad was Elliot Gould, right?
True.
Okay.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. He was the devil in Max Devlin.
Chandler's dad was what's her face from Body Heat?
Forgot about that.
Catherine,
the deep voice. Yes. Romancing the Stone.
Yeah, Wachowski.
I now want people to send us emails that they record. Because I just imagine that person has a really soft, diminutive voice. And Scott.
They probably do. But they have a soft, diminutive voice because they've built a fort out of Friends DVDs and paraphernalia because they love that show so much that they'll defend it with their lives. I don't have a problem with Friends. It's fine. It's fine. It's just not. It wasn't a show for me. I found it to be obnoxiously pretentious. Yeah, Kathleen Turner. Thank you.
Sorry.
She looks a little like Jabba the Hutt now, by the way.
Oh.
She does. Look her up. Check her out.
Not as. She looks like Chandler's dad.
Yeah. I remember, can I share a secret? When Romancing the Stone is what, 84, 83 or something? Mm-hmm. I don't know what it was.
Sounds about right, yeah.
I remember seeing this movie and my Korean brother and I knew the exact moment in the film, it was on VHS, the exact moment in the film where you could kind of see one of her nipples.
A wet shirt thing?
Yes, toward the beginning.
This is what happens when you throw towels over TVs to protect your kids. They start memorizing the moments.
When stuff happens, right.
Fast forward to 1 hour and 18 minutes.
Yeah. I hear you can see a nipple.
Oh, yeah. I know exactly the scene. It's when they're sliding down the mud thing and Michael Douglas lands in her lap, right?
Face something like that. I could be dead wrong, but there's
so what is the movie where one girl tells another that they're going to go try to pause all the right moves and see Tom Cruise's penis?
Oh, I don't know. Is that a movie?
It's a movie?
Yeah.
All the Right Moves or what's that? What's that one?
Risky Business.
I was going to say Rough Company. Yes, Risky Business.
Rough Company.
Oh, it's Scream. It's in Scream.
Oh, it is.
In Scream, one of the characters says they're gonna go try to pause all the right moves and see Tom Cruise's penis.
Really?
Right.
It's
Matthew Lillard, right?
They can see the hand who rocks the penis. Hand that rocks the cradle shows her penis in Risky Business.
He swings it around in Rock of Ages, does he?
I didn't never see that. How was that?
No, I never saw it.
Yeah.
I never saw
I have the soundtrack.
That.
Brian, Randy, you would have seen Rock of Ages. He likes the singing movies, right?
Sure, yeah.
Okay.
He's a pianist. He likes it
once.
How was that?
Okay.
Yeah?
I don't know. Okay, so we're talking about... No.
Yes.
No, it's not good. I'm sorry.
Good? Okay.
It's not a good movie.
All right.
I don't have anything good to say about Rock of Ages.
It's not as good as The Island, which I hold in my hand right now. So that'll be coming up on a new show, but not this next week. Next week, we are going to see. Hold on.
You know what? I just decided I have one good thing to say about Rock of
Ages.
Hurry
up. Yeah, go while I look this up.
Bryan Cranston.
Oh. He's in that. Yeah.
He's good in everything. Yep. Dude is getting so much work.
Isn't he though? Isn't he?
I mean, he's in Argo. He's been in like 8 movies. Total Recall, reboot,
which can't have been good.
No.
No.
But Bryan Cranston.
Our new thing we're going to do next, we've reordered it because of some schedule issues, but we're going to do Independence Day. We know we promised it before. That's still coming. Mm. Live commentary track, Independence Day. After that, Deep Impact. After that, Toxic Avenger. Mm. And so on.
Yes, I see a little point blank down there. Not Point too. Break yet.
No.
That's going to get so confusing.
Is it like a trauma movie, Point Blank? It's supposed to be like everyone wears Reagan masks and sets their gas houses on fire.
No. This will be, we'll be watching Point Blank.
Oh.
And that would be the...
Oh, it's the quiz show where Mel Blanc makes wins, and it's, they keep saying Point Blank. Oh, no?
Mickey Rourke, Danny Trejo.
Oh.
Prison Break film.
Oh. Mm. Oh. I love a good Prison Break film. Mm-hmm. All right, cool. Well, that's coming up soon. But watch for Independence Day live commentary track. You can watch the movie with it playing in your head. Yep. Coming up very soon. It's going to do it for us, everybody. That's a show. Yeah. We're done. I hope everyone has a fantastic new year. It is New Year's Eve when you're getting this episode. So my dog's humping a Yoshi doll over here. That's a Christmas miracle in its own right. I hope 2013 is as awesome for you guys as we think it will be for us. Parting words at the end of the year, anyone? Anyone have anything to say that, I don't know, 2012-ish?
It's Predators.
Predators, got it. Randy, yeah. Anything from the pianist in the group?
As we all go over the fiscal cliff together, I just want to say, hope your chute opens.
Perfect. Like it. Yeah. Dunaway, or Ibbett, you got anything you want to add?
May the odds ever be in your favor.
Fantastic.
Oh, my God.
Fantastic. I say booby trap them. That's going to do it, everybody. We'll be back next week with a new show. Visit the site, filmsack.com. Email us, filmsack@gmail.com. We're on Twitter, @filmsack. And as always, your reviews on iTunes are appreciated. And we'll do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy. We'll see you next time. That's it. That's all you got.
Okay. Is that it?
You were born with an asshole.
That's it. That was you're in. Chuck.
Sorry, something about assholes.
Information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
I love that Dunaway cannot resist making sounds during the outro.
Yeah.
Up in 140 characters or less, let's start with Randy.
Equilibrium. I wanted everyone in this film to die, so you're my hero, John Preston.
He kind of killed everyone. Brian, yep. Brian Dunaway.
Equilibrium, a movie about taking drugs so you can put up with your smart-ass 8-year-old. EC-10, I need an EC-10 on this twerp. Burn it.
That kid was kind of a jackass, at least for a while. Brian Ibbett.
Equilibrium, this movie made me happier than a Batman with a contraband puppy.
Nice. That was good.
Wait a minute. What you're saying is you'd be just as happy because that's what you got.
Right.
That man with the puppy. All right. Well, here's what I learned while you went through so much work and pain to burn people. I mean, can I say this real quick? I really enjoyed this film, but really? You got to take her to some place where you can't open those doors again. It'll blow up half the city. You can't just put her in a crematorium kind of burn thing. Like, why was that such an ordeal?
Right.
Anyway.
Why don't they just shoot them? I mean, come on. What was the whole burning thing for anyway?
I don't know.
They're really good at shooting.
Yeah, they're fine at shooting. They've all got really crazy cool guns. Do it that way. All right, here's what I learned. The Nether looks way different than the one I saw in Minecraft.
I thought about that every time they said that. I was like, Nether. Nether.
Who is actually manufacturing the long leather overcoats? And then finally...
Someone who really doesn't care. That is the answer to every question about who in this movie.
This is true.
Someone that they don't care about them.
And then finally, they really need to give people blood tests to see if they're off their freaking meds. Okay?
I think this point might have bothered Scott a little bit.
It did a little bit. It drove me slightly nuts. But I enjoyed it nonetheless. All right, emails. Got an email here from Joshua Kirtley, who says, hello, cool guys. This is a bit of a long one, but I like it. I was listening to your Idiocracy episode, and Scott was complaining about how at certain times he was pulled out of the movie with questions about how people this dumb could have such high-tech equipment and other issues that weren't addressed. You compare the movie to WALL-E a few times, and while you were talking, I think I figured out how to reconcile some of your concerns. What if the world of Idiocracy is actually the world of WALL-E? He says, now stick with me here. I know you said something similar, but what if Earth reached such a height of technology combined with wastefulness and laziness that the Earth became severely overpopulated and overrun with garbage? This is evident in the movie as presented, but what if there was still a decent portion of intelligent people who were lazy, weren't lazy and worked hard, and when they saw the state of the world and where it was headed, they built the Ark, quote-unquote Ark, right. And only the smartest and most highly valued citizens were allowed on the ship and were taken into space until the time point when they could return and rebuild Earth and make it a fresh start. These people left something, left some time before Idiocracy, but then would return in WALL-E after all these idiots eating at butt effers have died from trash lanches and scurvy. Trash lanches. That's awesome.
Trash lanches, yeah.
During that time on the ship, there was less and less of them to actually do on board, especially with the increased, he's talking like it happened. I love this. Increased workload right. being carried about by autopilot, and thus those smarter people became more complacent and lazy to the point of turning into human manatees on floating deck chairs eating cupcakes through a straw. I think this theory could tie up some of those loose ends with what was bothering. What do you guys think? Thanks, Joshua. So a little lengthy but interesting idea that these two movies are
linked
somehow.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. It's fun to think about.
It makes me feel better now.
But he's totally wrong.
Right. I know because one was animated and one was live action. It totally can't work.
And they're years and years apart.
I always when a film...
That was a good idea.
When a film intrigues me, I like to look at it through someone else's perspective, like completely. And equilibrium, you know what I mean? Like a film gives
do you pick the people that you used one week yes. saying I'm gonna watch it like a woman,
and then I'm talking about the in film perspective. So like okay. with Equilibrium, after I'd seen the movie, I went back and thought, I wonder what that film was like for his kid. The character.
Right.
Like what's going on in his world? What is he, how does he see it? You know?
Mm-hmm. And I think it's fun to think about.
Mm-hmm. It is. And I do that regularly. I try to imagine if the whole film had been done from the kid's perspective,
yeah.
what that would be like. Idiocracy completely defeats that. Completely. There is no other perspective to get.
Yes, there is. Upgrade would be an awesome perspective. Wow.
I used to think about what things would be like if Gilligan's Island was retold from the professor's perspective, right. as an example. Like that, I really used to do that as a kid.
Like he's a relatively smart guy, but these dummies keep ruining his plans.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, it would change. Man, the plot points would really change. And then, you know, you'd learn about his deep horniness for the redhead and all that.
I can't believe this Kansas bitch drops a house on my sister and then chases after me with this right. damn lion and a scarecrow. And
right. That's why not? True. Take it to all your movies.
By the way, you just said that redhead. Is Gilligan's Island where we get calling redheads gingers?
Oh.
Is that where it comes from?
I don't know. Ginger Ann or Ginger? No, Ginger Ann. Marianne. There's Marianne and Ginger. Ginger.
No, Marianne was a brunette. Ginger was the ginger.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm asking if we ever called redheads gingers before that.
I don't know. I thought it was a British origin.
The origin of the term.
This is riveting.
If we only lived in internet times, we could look this up. Brian, did you find anything? Because this is interesting.
In reference to redheaded people, in particular, if ginger in this context is related to the plant root used in cooking, I'm tired already.
Yeah.
Apparently, the answer is no.
There's something comforting about that not being the case, not being the reason.
Right, right.
All right. Next film, next week, Predators. Predators 2, Multiples. New movie,
spoiler.
2010. Robert Rodriguez produced a joint. Never saw it in the theater. Didn't see it when it came out on DVD. Donated by a fan. Once again, we watched it, and we're going to talk about it next week, and I'll tell you whether or not we'll tell you whether or not we thought it held up to the originals or was garbage. And this will be the second Predator movie we've seen here on the show. Predator 2 being the first.
Yep.
I wish we'd seen Predator 1 actually, because I love Predator 1, but that's never streaming anywhere.
But I ain't got time to bleed.
No, I ain't got no time to bleed.
Save it for the show.
That one had Apollo Creed with one arm waving his arm around.
True story.
Yep. Real good. Yep. Anyway, we'll talk about that next week. That's Predators. In the meantime, please visit us on the website. By the way, this is our Christmas episode. Merry Christmas, everyone. Happy holidays. Hope you're having a fantastic time.
Christmas miracle.
You won't hear from us again until New Year's Eve. We'll have a new episode posted. That'll be this Predators episode. So bringing you episodes through the holidays, even if you guys are busy happy drinking holidays. Eggnog and hanging out with your families. But yes, yeah, so happy holidays from us to you. And the website, filmsack.com, that's where you go. That's where stuff is. Go there. Email us at filmsack@gmail.com. We're also on Twitter at filmsack, and we love your reviews on iTunes. And this entire time we've been talking, I forgot to play the outro music, so I'm going to get that going now. Mm-hmm. But that's going to do it for us. For me, for Brian, and for Randy. We'll see you next time.
All right, hold on. I didn't take my drug. Hold on.
Put it in your neck.
Feels so good.
Put it in your neck.
Neck drugs.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Who is that?